Thank you for joining us today. For more information about the church, campus locations, service times, and more, visit ecoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at ecoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Well, good morning. Man, I'm telling you what, I have enjoyed our planted sermon series. And today, we're in week three of the sermon series, and we're concluding it. But turn with me to Psalms 92. This has been our main passage for this sermon series. And it says this: the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Week one, we talked about that God plants us for blessing. We said that wandering, that the curse isn't being planted, the curse is wandering. And God did an incredible things in the altars and broke off a wandering spirit off of our lives. In week two, last week, Pastor spoke brilliantly on planted to grow and how we're not called to make converts, we're called to make and be disciples of Jesus Christ, that he has predestined us to grow into the image of Jesus. And so week three today, we're gonna speak on this topic, rain for the harvest. Rain for the harvest. Turn me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 and 14 is our passage for this morning. And it says this: if you carefully obey the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and soul, verse 14, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and the late rains, so you can bring in your harvests of grain, new wine, and olive oil. You see, there can be no harvest without rain. We understand this natural principle in the earth that if we plant seed and we plant crop in the field and it doesn't rain or there's no water given to what has been planted, it can't produce a harvest. But the same is true in our spiritual lives, that if we want to see a harvest in our spiritual lives, we need the rain for the harvest. That there is rain that God has for us to bring out a harvest in our lives. And you want to know what the spiritual rain is? The spiritual rain is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be poured out onto our lives for there to be spiritual growth in our lives. You see, all throughout Scripture, you'll see the image of rain used to describe the Holy Spirit. You'll also use the image of water that's used for the Holy Spirit. And like rain brings growth to grass, so the Holy Spirit brings growth to the believer's life. I want to tell you today, God desires to give rain for the harvest over your life. God desires to pour out his Spirit on your life so that there will be growth in your life. God desires it. But before we can really understand the operation of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we got to understand what the Holy Spirit is not. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an it or a force. He is a person. Sometimes we can get so mixed up on understanding who the Holy Spirit is. Sometimes we may even say that the Holy Spirit is the goosebumps I get in service, or it's when I cry, or the Holy Spirit is an energy. But the truth is, we often associate the Holy Spirit with an emotion, but he's not an emotion, he's a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has feelings. The Holy Spirit has a personality. The word says the Holy Spirit can be grieved, can be quenched, can be offended in a sense. The Holy Spirit is a person that God desires us to have relationship with on a daily basis. God desires each of us to have relationship with the Holy Spirit, and it is through our relationship with the Holy Spirit that there can be rain poured out onto our lives, the Holy Spirit poured out into our lives. You see, the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to bring a harvest. Galatians talks about this in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Many of you know it. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I wonder why in Galatians he lists a list of fruit. It's because the Holy Spirit operates in our lives to bring a harvest. The Holy Spirit is in our lives, raining the crop of our life, if you will, so that there can be a harvest brought out of us, the harvest of joy, of peace, patience, kindness into our lives. And it's done through the Holy Spirit. And today, if we're going to see the rain of the harvest that the Lord has promised in Deuteronomy, there's a couple things that we're going to have to understand, but one thing we're going to have to be is, point number one, buried. We're going to have to be buried. Before you can expect a harvest of something, you first have to let God bury you. As we were planning the sermon this week, Pastor made this statement. He said, you have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to take you to a deeper level of dying so he can take you to a higher level of living. You see, before we can rise with the Holy Spirit to a higher level of living, we first have to go to a deeper level of dying. We first have to say, God, bury me. God, bury my flesh. God, I want to live, but first I have to die. There's a kingdom principle here, and the kingdom principle is this: you can't live unless you die. In fact, in Scripture, in Luke 9, it says this: if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Galatians 2:20, the first part of it says, Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Understand this, Jesus, the Son of God, had to go to the cross to die so that you and I could have life. The principle in the kingdom is this: you cannot live unless you die. It's sort of an oxymoron, like Jesus said, the first will be last and the last shall be first. You can't live unless you die. There, it reminds me of the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you know, he was his ministry was before Jesus, and John had his disciples, Jesus had his disciples, and there's great growth happening in Jesus' ministry, and the disciples of John come to him, and they say, hey, all the people we've been baptizing, all the people that have been attending our church, are attending our meetings, aren't coming anymore, they're going to Jesus' meetings. And they're kind of coming to him, wanting him to do something. And John makes this statement about Jesus: he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. We know the translation that says, I must decrease that he may increase. You see, in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. In the kingdom of God, to receive a higher level of living with the Holy Spirit, it first has to be allowing the Holy Spirit to bury us into the ground, to take a piece of our lives and saying we have to die to ourselves, die to our own ways, dying to our thoughts, dying to our negativity. See, in the gospel, growing and dying look a lot alike. Jesus gives this illustration in John 12. He says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. In the gospel, growth and dying look similar, that a kernel has to first be buried and die in the ground before it can actually produce growth in its life. A seed is buried. It's taken to a level of hiddenness before life can come from it. See, the Holy Spirit wants to bring a rain of harvest into our lives, but before there can be a harvest, there first has to be a season of being buried and a new level of hiddenness. You see, it's through being buried that the seed is then prepared for the harvest. The seed can't be fruitful unless it's buried. What am I saying? Before God can bring fruit in our lives, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to take us to a deeper level of being buried, because it's through being buried that is actually preparing us to be used by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what else gets buried in the earth just like a seed? The dead. Did you know that when someone close to us dies and passes away, we traditionally will take them and bury them into the ground? Being buried and dying can look a lot like the same thing, but their purposes are completely different. When we bury the dead, we are putting them to rest. But when God buries you, he's burying you not to put you to rest. He's burying you so that a harvest can come over your life. He's burying you not to leave you dead. He's burying you to prepare you. He's burying you to bring rain over the harvest. I wish I had somebody in here today that will say, I'm not dead. I'm just being buried. I'm not dead. God's just preparing me. You see, if you don't have the right lens on, you might say, God has slayed me. But God has not slayed you. God has planted you. God has buried you. God is preparing your life. What he does is he actually through the burying will use the dirt that is around you to become the fertilizer that actually grows you. Did you know that the dirty things that happen in your life, the bad things that happen in your life, can either be the thing that you stay buried in, or can it be the fertilizer for which you actually grow in? Yeah. Oh, come on. That's a word from the Holy Spirit this morning. Yeah. But if we're not careful, what will happen is we'll say, I'm just dead. I'm just done. God's finished with me. My best days are behind me. I have no purpose for my life. Listen, until you are buried into the ground physically, there is still purpose for your life. And God is wanting to use the dirt that is around you not to keep you down and keep you buried. He wants the dirt around you to become the fertilizer that actually raises you to new life, that actually brings a harvest of faithfulness and joy and peace and righteousness and gentleness to our lives. Amen. That the dirt is the fertilizer. Look at your neighbor this morning and say, I'm not dead, I'm just buried. Oh, come on, now say it louder to the one next to you. Say, I'm not dead, I'm just buried. God isn't using the dirt to keep us down. He's using it to lift us up. See, before God brings a harvest, he first buries the seed. Your life is the seed. May we have the approach of John the Baptist that says, God, I gotta decrease that you may increase. I gotta allow the Holy Spirit to take me to a deeper level of dying before he can take me to a higher level of living. Point number two, if you're taking notes, is former and latter rain. Former and latter rain. Deuteronomy 11:14, it said that he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and the late rains. The Old King James says the former and the latter rains, so that you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. You see, the former rain in that time was called the yore and the more, and it signified the start of the rainy season. It was when it was in the former rain that they would actually be able to start planting their crops. This time of the year was in September and October, about the time that we're in right now. And the former rain would be this first rain. It was so important because what would happen is when it would rain, it would actually prepare the ground for the seed to be buried. You see, over in the Middle East, the ground's much different than our ground is. It's hard, it's rocky, and there would have to be a former rain that would fall onto the earth and fall onto the fields so that it would actually prepare the ground, soften it up so that the farmers could plant the seed. It was an important rain. Without the former rain, there could not be a crop to be planted. Then we see the latter rain. The latter rain is called Malgos. It signifies the end of the rainy season, the termination of the rainy season. This happened in April. So when they would harvest, they would plant in September, October, and harvest in April. It's backwards than how we would plant, where we plant in the spring to harvest in the fall. And the latter rain was important because after you had the former rain, it would rain all season. If there wasn't a specific rain called the latter rain, then it would, the crops would just stay would just stay wet. But it was the latter rain that actually brought fruit out of the harvest. That the latter rain actually brought harvest to the fields. And God promised that he would send the former and the latter rain to his people if they were obedient, because the people of God needed both to survive. The people of Israel had to have the former rain or they couldn't harvest. They had to have the latter rain or they actually wouldn't see the harvest. Understand it in this. They had to have the former rain or they couldn't plant. They couldn't actually begin to sow. And they had to have the latter rain because they wouldn't actually see the harvest come to the crops. Now, I was studying this, and Jack Hayford had an amazing principle here for how it applies for us today. And he talks about a spiritual former rain and a spiritual latter rain that happens in our lives. And we need both to be poured out onto our lives and onto the people of God, because without them, we cannot survive. Like the Israelites could not survive with the former and latter rain, there is a spiritual former and latter rain that you and I, we cannot survive without. The spiritual former rain is this. In John 7:39, it says, when Jesus said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. You see, there's a rain of the Holy Spirit. There's the water of the Holy Spirit that comes in, a raining that happens when we believe in Jesus. It's called the former rain. And when we believe in Jesus, there's a former rain that rests on our lives. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells on our lives, lives in us and dwells. And what happens is he starts the process of sanctification. Well, what is the process of sanctification? There's some burying and dying that has to happen. There's a little bit of preparation in our lives. There's, before there can be fruit in our lives, there has to be some cutting away. There has to become some things that are taken out of our lives. And when you get the former rain of the Holy Spirit, God is preparing you for growth. He's planting the seed and burying the seed. Then there's a spiritual latter rain. It was the latter rain that caused the harvest to come forth. The harvest. Jesus said this in Acts 1:8. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling everyone about me everywhere. I want to point this out. The disciples believed in Jesus. They had not yet received the power of the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit, in a sense, leading them in sanctification, convicting them, but they had not received power to be the witness in the harvest field. There is a dimension of the Holy Spirit that he wants to pour out over our lives, and it's the dimension that says there is a harvest of souls around you, but you gotta have the power of the Holy Spirit to be the witness to go to the harvest. It says the pouring out, Jack Hayford writes, that Peter refers to at Pentecost in Acts 2:17 is not an abstract use of the word. It has to do with latter rain that brought about the hastening of the harvest and fruitful crops. What am I saying? I'm saying God is looking to pour out the former and latter rain of his Spirit on his people because we need it to survive. The former and latter rain, they start the beginning and the ending of the seasons. That it was at the start of planting, the former rain would happen, the ending of planting and the harvesting, that the latter rain would happen. See, the Holy Spirit alone can start the work in your life, and he alone can finish the work in your life. It's the Holy Spirit that starts your sanctification, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings the harvest of souls and brings the fruit of the Spirit and brings the likeness of Jesus into our lives. I want you to know, if it started with the Holy Spirit, it must continue with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, we've become so sophisticated in our lives that we think we can do it without the Holy Spirit. But I don't know about you, if my life started with the Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit to finish it. I need the Holy Spirit to continue his work in my life. What am I saying? I'm saying we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need him to pour out the former rain. We need him to pour out the latter rain over our lives. Notice that God brings the former rain at the end of a dry season, but also the latter rain before the start of a dry season. It's the Holy Spirit that will refresh you from the previous season and prepare you for the coming season. Many of us walk into seasons that are dry, and we're dry just like the season we're in. But I want to let you know, God doesn't want you to walk into a dry season and you still be spiritually dry. God wants you to be able to walk into a dry season, walk into the wilderness, how Jesus was brought into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to walk into the wilderness and not give in to the temptations of the enemy. Well, how do we do that? We do that by staying connected to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what will refresh you from a previous season and prepare you for a coming season. That when we stay connected to the Holy Spirit, we're actually staying connected to the rain, the former and latter rain over our lives. We're living in the days of the great former and latter rains. Anybody in here today want to say, God, I need the former rain. I need you to prepare me. I need you to prepare me for the season that's ahead. Or you're saying, God, I need the latter rain. God, there's people around me that are dying. They're going to hell. I need the latter rain to empower me to be a greater witness. I need the latter rain to bring the fruit of the Spirit out in my lives. I need the latter rain to bring a harvest out of my life. I believe today that he's going to pour out fresh rain on us. He's going to pour out his Spirit on us fresh and new. He's going to speak to us in a powerful way. And the Holy Spirit is going to rain on us. Before he can rain on us, point number three is this: we got to ask for the rain. We got to ask God to send the rain. You know, sometimes we can stay so dry that we get used to being dry. But God wants to create a thirst in us again that begins for us to say, God, I need the rain of your Holy Spirit. I want to ask this question. What would happen if we stopped asking God for the harvest and we started asking God for the rain? What would happen maybe if we stopped asking God for the breakthrough and we started just asking God for the rain of his Spirit? Because there's a principle that happens. As the rain increases, so the harvest increases. But sometimes what happens is our eyes are so focused on the harvest and so focused on the breakthrough and so focused on the fruit, like we talked about in week number one, that we're not asking for the very thing that will bring life to our circumstance. The very thing that will bring life to our circumstance is the rain of the Holy Spirit. Because as the rain increases, so the harvest increases. As you ask God for the rain, he will bring the harvest. So what if instead of asking God for peace, we ask God for the rain of the Holy Spirit? What if instead we didn't ask God for joy, but we ask God, I need the rain of your Holy Spirit. I'm saying that if we ask God for the rain of his Holy Spirit, there will be greater joy in your life. There will be greater peace in your life. There will be greater righteousness in your life. Why? Because you'll be bearing a crop. You'll be bearing a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit that will be greater than any circumstance you face. May we ask God for the rain of the harvest. Ask God for the rain of his Holy Spirit. this week on Facebook, I want to share a testimony of a Facebook friend. In the testimony, he wrote this. He says, I'm a former crackhead. Almost 16 years ago, Jesus changed that. The life I now live has absolutely nothing to do with willpower, but the person and power of the Holy Spirit who lives in my life. You see, many of us have been wondering how we can break the addictions in our lives. Ask for the rain. Many of us have been wondering how to overcome that thought pattern. Ask for the rain. Many of us have been trying to stop some things in our own might, but I'm here to tell you, ask for the rain, because as the rain increases, so the harvest increases. It's time once again that the people of God get thirsty for the rain of His Holy Spirit. It's that time again where the people of God get desperate in the altars again and say, God, I'm not leaving this place till I see the rain of Your Holy Spirit. It's time that we position ourselves again for the rain of God to be poured out over our lives. Listen, we need counseling. We need therapy. We need to talk through things. But I believe one thing we cannot forsake, one thing we cannot cast aside, is getting in the altars and asking God for a rain of His Holy Spirit. God, I've been struggling with this addiction. I can't do it in my own willpower. I've come to tell you today, get in the altars and let the Holy Spirit rain on your life. Well, I've been struggling with this negativity. I'm trying to speak positively over my life. Get in the altars and let the Holy Spirit get a hold of your life. God is wanting to do it again. Yeah. Oh, come on, about a quarter of you get it. A quarter of you are thirsty. Is anybody thirsty in this room today? Say, God, I want the Holy Spirit to be poured out. I don't want to just come to church and hear a great message. I've come to church to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't encounter a dead, dormant God. We encounter a Holy Spirit that is here. He's alive, and He's here to pour out His Spirit. As the rain increases, so the harvest increases. You got to ask for the rain. In Zechariah 10:1, it says this, ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for He makes the storm clouds. He will send showers of rain so every field becomes a lush pasture. There is permission for us in Scripture to ask the Lord of the harvest to send rain over our lives. God wants us. God is, in a sense, begging us as His people to say, just ask for the rain. Just ask for it. Ask for God to pour out His Spirit on the things that are buried in your life. If there are things in your life this morning you're going, there's no hope in that situation, I want to let you know, where there is no hope, where you see no hope in your life, it's under the influence of a lie. Because with Jesus, He breathes fresh life, fresh hope over every dead situation. Ask the Holy Spirit to pour out the rain of His Spirit onto your dead situation. I want to start having the band make their way up. And as the band's making their way up, I want to share a story. It's actually a Jewish folklore story. And many of us, we read a book many years ago, maybe 7 or 5 years ago. It was called The Circle Maker. And there's this Jewish folklore around the first century BC, the generation before Jesus, where there is a drought in the land that threatened to destroy a generation. And during this time in Jewish history, miracles were a distant memory, and they seemed like a false memory. But there was a man, a very eccentric man, that lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, and he still believed that God, if He did it before, He could do it again. He was a man by the name of Honi, the Rainmaker. How many of you know that when rain is plentiful, it's an afterthought, but during a drought, it's the only thought? When you're walking through a dry season and you haven't had rain, it's the only thing on your mind. But when rain is plentiful around you, rain can just be an afterthought and we take it for granted. And it seemed like this man, Honi, was their only hope. And as the story goes, Honi, he's got a 6-foot staff. He begins to turn in the ground and like a compass, and he makes a circle all the way around him. And Honi is now standing inside the circle that he made, and he drops to his knees and raises his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, he says, God, send the rain. Lord of the universe, I swear by your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your family. Then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. The people rejoiced over every single drop, but Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. Still kneeling within the circle, Honi lifted his voice over the sounds of celebration, and he says, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. The sprinkle turned in such a torrential downpour that eyewitnesses said no raindrop was smaller than an egg in size. It rained so heavily and so steadily that the people fled to the Temple Mount to escape the flash floods. Honi stayed and prayed inside the circle. Once more, he refined his bold request. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of thy favor, blessing, and graciousness. And then, like a well-portioned sun shower on a hot, humid August afternoon, it began to rain calmly, peacefully. Each drop was a token, a tangible token of God's grace. Why do I share the story with you today? Because I believe that God is looking for people in this room that will call out for the rain of his Holy Spirit and say, God, in our dry, weary land, we need the rain of your Spirit again. God is looking for people that will say, I'm going to draw a circle around my prayer closet, and I'm not leaving my prayer closet until I encounter the rain of the Holy Spirit. God is looking for people today that will say, I will stay at the altar. I will stay in the presence of God till I experience the former and the latter rains of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if there's anybody in here today that'll say, I'm gonna make a circle. I'm gonna cry out for rain. I'm gonna cry out to the Lord.